can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, welcome to the second hour. This is Ralph Kermit, Winroad II, coming to you with the Ralph Winroad Show, live out of Alaska. And we're going to win. Just got to keep the faith that we're going through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just darkness. I mean, it's unbelievable what the hell's going on. These are exciting times. The old devil, he's got powers. But he's still no match for the Creator and his Son. We just got to stay truth, to stay true to the truth. I'm going to read one here out of the Bible, then I'm going to get back into the office. This is out of Thessalonians 2, 9 to 12. Thessalonians 2, 9 to 12. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so will all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. They believed in their software. They had no idea Trump was going to get so many votes, so they had to stop all of the counting in all those states. They believed the delusion of the lie. We got them beat, man. Amazing. It's like Obama didn't reappoint all those judges. We got them beat. We got Hillary. It's a shoo-in. Left all of those positions for Donald Trump, for judges, to try to get our some people, some judges back that actually want to respect the rule of law. We're winning. But he's not going away. This is the devil's world, and he can do miracles. And these people are evil. Ain't saving them. They're nothing. When you do the same thing as like God did to Moses when he came down off the mountain, those people that built the golden calf, opened up the earth and go, yep, gone. They're not going to change. They are what they are. The thing that's so important is the federal government, the government of the United States is its correct name. It's in the Constitution of the United States twice. It is said, this is the English common law. The government of the United States adopted the English common law. The several states did not. They say they did, but you can't hold them to it. But you can't hold the government of the United States to it. That is what their rule of law. They adopted the English common law that all types of Englishmen through the Magna Carta and all that fought like hell to get. To get out of the star chambers and all of this Inquisition type stuff. Even though we have Inquisitions yet in this country. Going to an IRS agent is an Inquisition. But anyway, that's another subject. It is said, this is a quote, because the English common law from Giles Jacobs, which I have a dictionary I give $1,000 for, the original one, 1791, I think it is. But this was done by Tomlin in 1911. By the way, that's in this information that I have. If you spend $250 and get all the research, you get all the English common laws that's used in this country as of 1811. It is said the word officium principally implies a duty, and in the next place, the charge of such duty, and that it is a rule. This is so concise that where one man hath to do another's affairs against his will and without his leave, that is an office, and he who is in that is an officer. What does that mean? Against our will, we have agreed that whatever a lawful judge says, if we end up in some sort of a pissing match, against our leave, our permission, because we've agreed to it. We put in the powers of the government, three branches in our form of, in our republic. It's layered. It's the sovereign powers of the government of the of the several states, and then there's an overlay of the government of the United States in certain areas only. Really important. There is no government laws of the several states today. Because there's no elections for them. 1993, National Voter Registration Act, only for federal offices. All of these, quote, states today, you'll find in their PACER, they will be sovereign states of the United States of America instead of a union of the states. That's how they plead. They know what the hell they're doing. They're a municipal entity, just like D.C. Because the definition of a state in the voter registration is a what? State of the United States. That means the state is underneath the United States. It's part of the United States and D.C. We're on the same status as the District of Columbia. Well, ain't that a surprise? D.C. is not one of the several states. It's under the plenary power of Congress. So if it's under the plenary power of Congress, guess what? Calls flows a fortiori for a more important reason, that means we're under the plenary power of Congress. Can we prove that? Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. Because guess what? I got 110 cases, which I put in this en banc rehearing. United States District Courts, which are legislative courts, under the control of Congress, says they are a sovereign. The United States of America is a sovereign body politic. Did the United States of America create the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of several states? No. Who is the United States of America? Excuse me, is a sovereign body politic? That's Congress. You know why? Because when you understand the why, it's easier to defend it. Because in 1913, they changed the 17th Amendment, which changed the legislatures of the several states electing senators of the United States to just the word state, each state. And it's done by citizens of the United States, which have no political rights. Supreme Court said so. They have no right of the elected franchise, no right of the right of suffrage. And how can we conclusively prove some of that, even just logically? The District of Columbia, an qualified elector, it says, is a citizen of the United States. They got nothing to do with nothing. I don't know how in the hell they got into electoral college nonsense. That's another bunch of baloney. But if a citizen of the United States is a qualified elector in D.C., the 14th Amendment does not cover those people in D.C. Supreme Court said so. Because the 14th Amendment is about the states doing something wrong. Or their public officers. D.C. easily. You say, well, wait a minute, I got a question for you, sir. If the District of Columbia is exclusively the qualified electors in their code, is a citizen of the United States, and it's not a 14th Amendment, what are you doing out here in the several states? Because we don't know any better. They get us all to volunteer. And after the 1913 17th Amendment, there are no real parties of interest in the Constitution of the United States in the 10th Amendment, because it was either for we the people or the several states, and they're both under citizens of the United States, and we signed up for it. 13th Amendment on up are not organic amendments. God, it's easy to prove. Many ways. Go look at the bottom. It's an article, not an amendment. An article is a separate thing, like there's Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, 4, 5, and 6 in the Constitution of the United States. It's an article. It says so. And what makes it even crazier, it's under the legislative power of Congress to do something with it. Does that sound like a right? Of course not. It's not a right. Rights are for people. Power is for government. And if we give the power to Congress, it sure the hell isn't a right. It's called a benefit. And they can change it at will. It's all nonsense. Now, where do we find a great case on talking about all this stuff so we can believe it, other than just me saying it? Well, guess what? There's a case, the best one I have ever found, and there's a lot of them, by the way. It's the Ex Parte Commonwealth of Virginia. It's 100 U.S. 339. It's 1879. 100 U.S. 339, and on page 368 is a very concise statement. This whole case is just amazing because it's clarifying what we're not taught. And it was a confusion back then. Let's go. I'm going to start here. It says, it secures to all persons their civil rights upon the same terms, but it leaves political rights. They're talking about the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. Upon the same terms, but it leaves political rights, or such as arise the form of government and its administration as they stood previous to its adoption. That's a major statement, folks. 13th and 14th and 15th didn't change that frickin' damn thing about political rights. That's a type of government. Because these states are sovereign. These several states are sovereign. They have their own laws, their own constitution. They don't anymore. I don't know if all of them, I haven't looked, but most of them have no external amendments. So they're a corporation, but it's a charter, corporate charter, not an organic constitution. It has no more reference to them than it has to social rights and duties, which do not rest upon any positive law, though they are more potential in controlling the intercourse of individuals. That's where we are today. Social rights. They don't got a damn thing to do with the law. What are social rights? It's my opinion versus your opinion, which is irrelevant. And if you don't agree with me, then you are a racist. That's what's going on today. Social justice, all this social nonsense. we're off in the land of Lucifer. There's no law. Social justice, social whatever is crap. It's my independent opinion versus your. It's called identity politics, is its correct name. I identify as whatever. And you identify as that. And if you don't identify with me, then you are a racist in their world. That's a fact. In the consideration, back to this, of questions growing out of these amendments, much confusion has arisen from a failure to distinguish between the civil and the political rights of citizens. Civil rights are absolute and personal. Political rights, on the other hand, are conditioned and dependent upon the discretion of the elective or appointing power, whether that be the people acting through the ballot or one of the departments of their government. The civil rights of an individual are never to be withheld, but may always be judicially enforced. The political rights which he may enjoy, such as holding office, discharging a public trust, are qualified because their possession depends upon his fitness to be adjudged by those whom society has clothed with the elective authority, that's called the qualified electors. The 13th and the 14th Amendments were designed to secure the civil rights of all persons, every race, color, and condition, but left to the states to determine whom the possession of the political powers should be entrusted. This is manifest from the fact that when it was desired to confer political power upon the newly made citizens of the states, was done by inhibiting the denial to them of suffrage on account of race, color, and previous condition of servitude. That's a fact. Go look it up today. Citizen of the United States, 42 U.S.C. 1981-1982. 42 U.S.C. 1981-1982. Same rights as a white citizen. Why would you say that? We're talking about civil rights. That was the first Civil Rights Act, 1866. Just for the Negroes. They used it as a prop to get into 14th. Then after they get around and get that done, then 2 years later they do the 1870, they say, oh, by the way, you know, we could have naturalized the blacks. Yeah, then you would be a citizen of the United States of America, which everybody has that status because it's a country of the United States of America. And there is a government of the United States that was set up over certain areas called the several states. And it's called the Constitution of the United States. It says so written in the preamble, Constitution for the United States of America, the country, under the Articles of Confederation. That's the country we live in. And then there are the several states, which is carved out of that. They're sovereign countries. And we under the laws of the several states. And then the supreme law of the government of the United States. In certain areas. It's an overlay. It's a tough concept sometimes to grab. But they use this like Trump's trying to stop this birthright nonsense. Mexicans come over and they have a child born and it's a citizen of the United States. It has no birthright. But in this fictional world, that's just status. Because everybody has to have, you weren't born here with a birthright, you have to be naturalized. And you come in as a citizen of the United States of America. That's a fact. Back in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, well, we're back here. And also in this rehearing in Bonk, which is also in great detail in the Mooney's petition reply and 998-page appendix, are some important issues. They're not simple ones. They're essential. What am I being prosecuted under if I deal with the IRS? Oh, they give me a code section. But what they also say, oh, well, you know, you can go off to the tax court, which isn't even a court. It's an Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9 says so. What do you have to get in tax court? I noticed a deficiency and a deficiency. Mooney's didn't have one. They admitted it. They don't pay attention. But what? How do we flush these SOBs out in the open? I lined out in this petition for inbox. First of all, anything that an agency does is mandated to be published in the Federal Register. It's right in the Federal Register Act. It's in 5 USC A1. Each agency shall separately state and currently publish in the Federal Register for the guidance of the public. We need to be guided. We have to have notice. So they publish a Federal Register, and they put them under what's called the Code of Federal Regulations, CFRs. So the first question is, can I look at a CFR? Is it law? Does it have the force and effect of law? Can I tell? I got to be able to tell for my public notice. I got to be able to understand, because without notice, they got nothing. You cannot look at a regular code of federal regulation and see if it has the force and effect of law. That's a fact. There are some that you can exclude automatically that do not have force and effect of law. Typically, they're called housekeeping. There'll be a part, there'll be like 26 CFR 301 or 601, which is procedure. 301, every 301 regulation as a matter of law. It's called housekeeping. It's for internal only. Supreme Court said so, Chrysler v. Brown. It's hard to find other Supreme Court cases because they always want to not bring it up. But in this, in Bonk, which I took the time, took a lot of time, they deal in the Federal Circuit with this type of stuff. So I found their cases. So the en banc is against cases that you're not holding true. It's going to make those other cases smoke. I found a whole bunch of them, more than two. Took a while, but I found them. And I put them in this en banc rehearing. This is your stuff. Y'all wanted your stuff, so I'm telling you, you're a liar with your stuff, Bubba. Now, what are some of these regulations that are so required for the IRS to use? I went in and listed out some of them without the fact of, number one, gross income. You can't have anything going to the, what's called the federal income tax or any state without a gross income. So I ID'd the, I went in and looked up the stuff on the, and included in this, the Federal Register publications, because you have to go to the public, to the Federal Register publications to see, which is equivalent to Congress voting on it and the president signing. Go in there and see. They must state, number one, in the proposed rule, we are in compliance with 5 U.S.C. 553. B, that's the formal procedure. Or they must say, no, we're not doing it. We're using the informal, which has never been done before, but I found the Senate report that lined it out as a roadmap, beautifully done, which, by the way, is in this brief. We're not going to do it because it's not in the public interest and blah, blah, smoke and mirrors nonsense. But Congress said if you're using the informal, which IRS does on some, you must state the emergency in the record. Why are you, what requires you to bypass, what's the big emergency that you can't do it in the formal, which you'll never see? Well, I've never seen one yet. And I've looked at, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of them. The informal, you know what they miss? They never state the emergency, the cause. IRS doesn't, because they can't. There is none. It's a means to bypass doing the formal. So therefore, we're, they're smoke. They have no force and effect of law. That's the informal. And I got it lined out with the source that I got from the Senate report that tells you this. Like I say, it always helps to have a roadmap, you know. So then I went, look, okay, if I'm bound by all this stuff and I'm going into tax court, what's required? Well, you got to have a deficiency or notice a deficiency. That's what they say. And I believe them. I mean, I got to believe this stuff. They wrote it. Okay. So my question is, under the, any statutory law, they got to have a regulation mandatory. Okay, they got to go through the proposed rule, final rule, and publishing 30 days, and 6 months, Congress can overthrow it, all that. They also have to have assessments. How much do I owe? Well, let's see here. 26 CFR 301 is a housekeeping regulation, and it says assessment authority, 26 CFR 301, 6203-1, method of assessments. 26 CFR 301-6204, supplemental assessments. 26 CFR 301-6205, special rules applicable to certain employment taxes. So their assessment stuff is all housekeeping. That automatically disqualifies them for the formal or informal, which you can go into their Federal Register and prove because there ain't nothing there. They'll get around and they may say, oh, we're not using, or they may not. They go, oh, they're all over the place. There's no consistent. But it's automatically can be used. Now we go to the deficiency. Oh, you got to have a notice of deficiency because that's where you get into tax court. Well, 26 CFR 301-6211, deficiency defined. 26 CFR 301-6212, notice of deficiency. I have to have a notice of deficiency to proceed, otherwise they can't do anything. But that's a 301 reg. 26 CFR 301-6213, restrictions applicable to deficiency. Petition to tax court, that's a 301 reg. 26 CFR 301-6215, assessment of deficiency found by tax court. Are you starting to get a picture that maybe we have been lied to? Then we go into 26 CFR 301-6301, collection authority. I actually have that one in there twice. I don't know why I did that. I didn't catch that. 26 CFR 301-6301, notice and demand for tax. That's a 301 reg. 26 CFR 301-6305, assessment and collection of certain liability. The 301. 26 CFR 301-6320, notice and opportunity for hearing upon a filing of a notice of federal tax lien. That's a 301. Your notice of tax liens are 301 rigs. 26 CFR 301-6321, lien for taxes. That's a 301 rig. 26 CFR 301-6305, assessment collection of certain liability. That's a 301 rig. 26-301-6326, administrative appeal of the erroneous filing of a notice of federal tax lien. 26-301-7433 is the one I like. Civil cause of action for certain unauthorized collection actions. And that's where we're trying to find the area directors, because you put in the information that I have now. No gross income, no deficiency, no assessment, no tax lien authority. None of them are formal or informal, having the force and effect of law. And within 6 months, if they don't get back, you can go into the, quote, kangaroo United States District Court and sue them for up to $1 million. And they don't want to cough up the names of the area directors. I've got a few of them. And that's where we're headed next. Bring it on down. Y'all wrote it. We just learned how to read. Your regulations for tax court are 301 rigs. Why in the holy hell would I want to go to tax court, which is a Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9? It is a legislative court, period. And what's even more amazing, let me find this down here. We put this in, I say we, Mooney did, and which I've never seen before, ever. This is what happens when you get them so cornered. We put in what those courts are. Their stuff. Because you see the definition of Article 3 is judicial power of the United States. Judicial power is something exercised by a government. Of is a source origin relationship between judicial power and the government. The is an article. A specific government. So it's judicial power of the singular United States. So what does 26 U.S.C. 132, judicial power of a district court? Is the district court a government? Really? I don't think so. But I wanted to find out what they said. And what they said, they defined, this is under United States versus Rob. I found two cases, finally, because they made it hard to find. I found it, finally. And you know what they said? Well, you didn't bring those cases up soon enough, so we're not going to look at them. Really? Any case that you put in, you're supposed to look at, Bubba. What's it say? Judicial power of a district court may be exercised by a single judge. The judicial power is exercised as a representative of the court, because it says judge can't have judicial power individually. He's representing the court. The judge is representing the damn court. That's important. I thought you were independent, doing laws of the United States. No, he's representing this court that is a Congress legislative court. And they go down farther in this to say, the place where the judge may exercise jurisdiction is subject to absolute control of Congress. The damn court is under the control of Congress, and the judge is representing the court, which he's representing Congress. This is why all of the state, the legislation now, since 1913, says United States of America instead of United States. Because it's Congress. And they had to create a special court for it because citizens of the United States don't have any standing. So they created a new court called the United States District Court. And the judge represents the court, and the court's under the control of Congress. Damn, that is where I really want to go to get a slacking. Because that's what you get. They print it in statutory law. Judicial power of a district court. By damn, there ain't no way you can make it equal to judicial power of the United States. Because at the end of judicial power, there's executive power, legislative power, those are exercised by a government. And the judicial power of a district court? I don't think the district court is a government. It's a legislative court. And the United States of America appeared in 1913, took them 3 years to work out from 1789 to 1913. The real party of interest plaintiff was always United States or the United States, period. And then all of a sudden it changed to United States of America. Why? Because there are no parties to the Constitution of the United States. They got us to think we're a citizen of the United States. And they took away the several states' legislatures electing senators, so there's nobody left. And so that's why they started the 13th Amendment for citizens of the United States. Subject to, under the 14th, subject to. I live in Texas. Wouldn't I be subject to the laws of Texas without seeing, you don't see subject to in Texas, do you? And their statutorily codified stuff. You either is or you ain't. There's a condition. Subject, that is a condition. Subject to. I'm going to look up that definition. That's really important. I've got a brief that is really important that I put out on Rappert, trying to fight this nonsense that's going on with him in Minnesota, because these guys up there are just totally out of control. They don't give a half. They could care less. They're like these crazy Democrats. They're like Schiff, Erwin Schiff, and Schumer, and Pelosi, and that Abrams out of Georgia. God, what a piece of garbage. These people are, I just hate these liars. It's unbelievable. Oh, I just had my cat get up here and knock a bunch of stuff off. I got one cat that just loved, he climbs on everything. I don't know how the hell he does it. I love the hell out of him, but he's a nuisance. Anyways, subject two. This is found in St. Augustine Pools, Inc. versus Barker, 687 South SO 2D 957. 687 South 2D 957. The term subject to, in quotation marks, means liable, subordinate, subservient, inferior, obedient to, semicolon. Or it can mean governed or affected by, semicolon. Provided that, semicolon. Provided, semicolon. Answerable. The word subject to usually indicate a condition of one party's duty of performance and not a promise by the other. There you go, and they got another case out of the tenth. What does that mean? It means I have signed up, volunteered, which, by the way, I have it in a brief where the Congress went after Trump on his taxes. It says it's voluntary. But they get me to volunteer. They scared the hell out of me. And they don't tell me the truth in school. They lie to me. I go to a propaganda school. It is an implied law contract. The 1040 is an implied in law contract. Almost every contract is implied in law. And what does that mean? It means I am volunteering that I owe you a duty and you owe me nothing. Really? I want to be a slave. I owe you anything I got and you don't owe me one thing. That's what an implied in law. That's a form 1040. Almost every form is an implied in law contract. Except there's something going on with Trump and agencies, because the new W-4, they offer you a W-4. Would you like to volunteer into our corrupt citizen of the United States federal income taxes so we can screw you? Or is there a way out? I used to modify the W-4s. You had to modify them. Not now. They are constitutionally correct. Why? Because the W-4 that is offered to you, it is an implied in law contract. And it says if you want to opt out, you have to write the word exempt. It is your modification of their contract offer, implied in law. And you send it back. And when they accept it, they're done. I got 3 instances of one person and one another where it's worked right now. That's all people have tried that I know about. One guy was at Prudhoe Bay at 3 different companies. Not a peep. It is constitutionally correct. Because when you hand modify their document, then it's you modifying their implied in law document, and if they accept it, they're done. They accepted it. You just modified it, saying this is the duty that I owe you, and I'm exempt. Go screw yourself. Stick it in your head in a pile of sand. How many people are going to do that? I don't know. Got to get people to get some, stand up and fight. Try it. There's no law against it. The IRS comes back and say, no, then we've got a thing. You say, oh, no, wait a minute here. You accepted this. You want to keep a copy of it, by the way. You accepted it. We done. And here's why. And by the way, where's your area director? Because you know what? I got the information. Now I want to send to the area director. I want you to tell me one regulation. One that has the forced effect of law that is either informal or informal procedure. I want it. Give me the stuff. They can't do it. That's why they don't want to cough up these area directors. We're going to get it. Or if we can't, we'll send it to the area director and the commissioner of the IRS, care of the area director for said state. Always one more than one way to skin a putty cat. This is important stuff. You can't fight if you don't have the information. Not have any chance of winning. But it's just like Trump down there and fighting in these states, these lower courts, and they're corrupt. Alaska's court is so corrupt, it's unbelievable. There are courts. They changed the name. The Alaska Bar changed the damn names of the courts. And that's what they use. Is that, like, obvious or what? I'm not kidding you. The legislature said the third district is the venue. The court says, oh, Alaska Bar says, oh, no, we want third judicial district. And we're going to get all these lawyers to sign up over here under Rule 5 and Rule 64 with an oath. So if you want to play in our court, you better keep your trap shut. And they do, mostly. I bet a few lawyers helped me. They wouldn't tell me all the story, but they would tell me enough to say, okay, here's what's going on. Rex Butler's one of them out of Anchorage. Tell me enough, but it was only so far. He's like, there would never be a preliminary examination. That's another thing that just irritates me to no end. They always say, oh, you got to have probable cause. You got to have probable cause. Who makes a determination of probable cause in a constitutional republic? The cops can have probable cause to arrest you, but who has probable cause to charge you with a crime? That's important. They're supposed to have a preliminary examination. Most states have it. The federal government, or the government of the United States, has it. If you know where to look. But they don't do it. Alaska has it in a rule of court. But this attorney said, you ain't ever going to see one. Because they can't do them. I didn't know why then, but I do now. Because there's nobody home to do it. So they call it a pre-indictment hearing. They get in your pre-indictment hearing. What's it do? Would you like to have the complaint read? No, pass that. The person that's charging you that you did something to, if it's a issue of robbery, would you like to have this person out on bail or not? That's it. Oh, that sounds really like it's complying with a preliminary examination, which says you must bring in under oath evidence, present it to a judge in open court, and you have the right to show up to rebut it if you choose and provide a limited amount of evidence. The judge then, he is an independent party, supposed to be. He makes a determination to send it to the grand jury. Grand juries technically aren't even part of the government. Grand juries can't determine probable cause. Prosecutors can't determine probable cause because they have a conflict of interest. They're the charging party. So who in the hell is determining probable cause? Oh, wait a minute, we're not talking about that. We'll just send it over to the grand jury and see if they can indict this person. Where's the probable cause? Nobody asked that damn question. Where is it? Who made the determination of probable cause? Prosecutors, by law, can't do it. They're the prosecutor. They have a conflict of interest. Grand juries can't. They're not empowered to. Technically, they aren't even part of the government. How did we get away? How did we get in this damn position? That's really frustrating to me. And I see, like, even Mark Levin and others, well, we're going to send it to the grand jury. Unbelievable. You just can't make this stuff up. It's the Matrix. And I say our republic has been overthrown. It's all there. But you know what's waiting on? It's waiting on people with knowledge that got some backbone to stand up and fight. But you got to have the knowledge. And I got enough information in this Mooney's brief and that appendix and this other to blow the lid off of these damn... We are being ruled by a bunch of people in agencies of regulations that have... They don't even have the force and effect of law. They don't even pass their muster. It's all so damn complicated. Because you got to go look at the Federal Register. Imagine being ruled in these, like these gun things. You can't look at the regulation. You have to go to the Federal Register. Do they ever bring that up? No. You'll find some cases in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals where they've gone into the Federal Register and looked. But you got to know this. If you don't know it, how are you going to figure it out? Nobody's telling us. You're not going to see it in a book. I've got the book Hubble's and the other one the feds use for making regulations. They don't even go into all this. Why? That's the instruction for Congress. We got to keep those people stupid too. It's there if you know where to go look. It shouldn't be hard to find. Why is it hard to find? Because they want us like the slaves they had on the plantation. You keep us stupid. You go to send us to these cool schools like in Baltimore where they can't even pass the basic tests. The basic test. Nobody can even pass a basic test. What the hell are they doing in there? Basket weaving? I don't know. Math and English? You can't pass a basic minimal test? What are you doing all them years? I don't know. Can't make this.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Well, we're back. These are exciting times. Trump is getting ready. We got the Supreme Court justices set over all the states. So there'll be a conservative Supreme Court justice there. All we want is the rule of law. And all the, I mean, there is no doubt that Biden cheated. I mean, it's just when Sidney Powell and all this stuff that's going on, and the software that they were using, I just cannot believe it started out with some people in Venezuela, and it's been checked out to be corrupt, and then it's tabulated in Spain or in Germany. You just, what the hell is going on? Somebody had to know this, and nothing happened. Well, I'll bet you something happens now. Supposedly, the server was nabbed by the good people, according to Sidney Powell. So, as I say, hang on, just be faithful. ignore all the BS he won and all this other nonsense. The thing that gets me, too, is all of these rhinos, including our one up here, Murkowski, getting around and, oh, congratulations to the president-elect. Do you not know what president-elect means? There has no certification of nothing. And this guy is a career criminal. There's enough evidence in the public domain. He is a career criminal. Loyal to China. And he's going to be president of the United States. Are you people, what the hell is wrong with you? Chris Christie? Romney out there in Utah, I'm not surprised about him. What is wrong with these people? I don't know. It's frustrating to see how what some of these people are really made of. But like in the Revolutionary War, I think it was like 5-7% actually did it. And I'm not sure we got that many left in this. Well, actually, we do. Because the people that voted for Trump, 73 million, know something's wrong. And they want somebody to stand and send the deep state to hell. And that's where they need to go. And oh, is it corrupt. But one, Trump has got some military folks now, and he's got the Supreme Court lined up. I don't know what else he's doing. See, the one thing about Trump, he's got an IQ of 152 or 54. He doesn't tell you what he's doing. He goes and gets it done. He sends you off on false leads. I get chuckle sending all these false leads and these Democrats. Oh, they go running over here. Oh, they go running over here. And then something else totally different happens. He's a smart man. All I can say is pray for Trump and pray for our republic. And if you're a Christian, you can't be a Democrat. Because if you believe in killing live babies in the womb and out, you're not Christian. You're of Lucifer. That's a fact. Can't believe in that. Can't practice it. That's what's called crossing the Rubicon. Like in Rome, the armies could never cross the Rubicon River. Caesar wanted to keep his armies out, so he knew they wouldn't overthrow his government. And that's where we are today. Anyway, if you want to contact me, it's irs@alaskaminuteman.com. Donation $350 if you want to get on the IRS list, or if you can't afford it, you just tell me why, and I'll still add you. And $250, and I will give you all of the research that I have. There's no catches. You can do anything with it you want. Hopefully, you'll spread it. Got all kinds of law dictionaries, Black's, Bouvier's, Funk and Wagnalls, amazing dictionaries, early 1900s, 1943, real unabridged dictionaries. I bought those and tore them apart and scanned every damn one of them. Anyway, what's up with the Federalists? Pray for Trump, and we will see you next Sunday, God willing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.